Back to the dinum of paspalter, bishulakum, paspakum, and all that. So he said that if a baker bakes it, then it's a din was called paspalter, which hapidin is easier. If it's a direct guy that bakes bread for a Jew, you're not allowed to eat it rabbinically because of getting intermarried. If it's paspalter, then it says in aloha that if the bread is not as good, it's not accessible, whatever, then you could be lenient in paspalter. In the Chassidic world, they're pretty strict about Pasisrael, that it should be takabi by a Jew. Now, as long as a Jew does something in the process of the cooking or the baking, then it's fine. In fact, the lady called me today. She had, in the morning, she got up, she took out schnitzel. And she told her housekeeper, I'm going to come back later, I'm going to make the schnitzel. So the housekeeper did her a favor. She made the schnitzel. She walked in the house 5:30 in the afternoon, and... No, not all done. Some schnitzel was already fried, some schnitzel was in the middle, and some schnitzel was still raw. So it's a big problem. The schnitzel that was done already is a big problem when we get to Bishalakum. The one that was half fried or whatever it was, I told her, she threw it all out. I don't know why. But I told her that you could use because you'll finish the... They baked it halfway. You roast the fry, whatever, the other halfway. But the ones they made is a big problem. In fact, there's even a shayla on the keli. Normally, bishulakum according to halacha, lachatchila makes the utensil tray false. What? In that case, mistama, not because they were there, they weren't there, whatever. Okay, next is like this. Something which is eaten, in order to be called bishulakum, now we're not going past anymore, now we're going to bishul. So he said, number one, when a guy cooks something for you, so we learned that Dr. Tshuva is makel on steam or other things like that. But in order to be considered bishul akum, that a guy cooked it for you, it's two criteria is necessary. Number one, anything which is eaten raw, there's no bishul akum on. So let's say a guy cooks vegetables, carrots and whatever, any vegetable which is eaten raw, there's no problem with bishul akum. Because it could be eaten raw, so even though when they cook it. Therefore, let's say a guy cooks water for you, it's not a problem, because water anyway is not, it's something that you can eat raw. What happens in egg, for instance? So even though halacha says that people do sometimes eat raw eggs, the chazanim, they think their voice gets better when they...
Gogol mogol,
yeah. So then it says in Shechun Aruch that still is bishul akum on an egg. So you can't have goyim cooking eggs for you or things like that. Unless, again, if the Jew turns on the fire, they do something in the actual cooking process. Cooking process doesn't mean cracking the eggs open. It means actually in the cooking process, the Jew does something. So number one, it has to be something which is not eaten raw. Secondly, it has to be something that we said, Olah Shulchan Malachim, something that's fit for a table of a king. So therefore, if it's something that's served at a banquet, or bar mitzvah, or wedding, something like that, the prominent meal, then there applies the din of bishul akum, which, by the way, includes fish, meat, chicken, eggs. All these things are considered elah shulchan malachim. And there are things which are not eaten raw.
Excuse me, Rabbi, can you interpret what those words mean?
Which ones?
The ones
bishul akum. Olah shulchan malachim means it's fit for a table of a king. It has to be food which is served at a royal feast. Or again, in today's language, it means a bar mitzvah, wedding, a formal get-together. But if it's something like vegetables or things like that, that are not oila shulchan malachim, it's not. For instance, if somebody roasts peanuts, yeah, so peanuts are not oila shulchan malachim. They're not fit for a table of a king. So as long as it's kosher, you have to make sure it's kosher, because otherwise they'll use tray for oil. But you have to make sure that it, again, if it's eaten raw, it's not a problem. If it's not elo shulchan malachim, it's not a problem. I'll give you an example where this din applies. You have cereals, Kellogg's, Post, whatever it is.
Cereals
like Kellogg's, Post.
Cereals.
Okay. Now, those things are, sometimes they're... Basically, they're steam. A lot of cans are steam, but these things are toasted, and they're
baked.
Some of them are baked. So the shaila is there a din of bishul akum on these types of breakfast cereals, to call for lack of a better word. So there are people that are machmir, but definitely according to halacha, you don't have to be machmir. Why don't you have to be machmir? So the poskim write the different reasons for that. Number one, most of them are steamed. Okay. Secondly, nobody serves Cheerios and milk at a banquet. Or cornflakes. Nobody serves cornflakes at a banquet. So then these things are not Eila Shulchan Malachim. They're not fit for a table of a king. And therefore, it wouldn't be a problem. Yes, do you... What? No.
Why would pretzels be different?
Why would pretzels be different? Because pretzels is a din of paspalta, because it's mezainis. There's a chshivas and mezainis. Cheerios are not all mezainis, by the way. If you look at the ingredients, a lot of the old Cheerios were mezainis. But all the new Cheerios, the honey nut, you look in the ingredients, they're not mezainis. There's no oat flour. There's no flour in them. Go look at the ingredients.
Let's say you were talking about, let's say a goy making omelet. If a Jew goes and puts salt on it while it's on, when they're cooking it, is that considered?
If he puts salt in it while it's cooking, it's also good. It's better to do something in the actual cooking process. Yeah, to scramble it a little bit or these things.
What if the goy that you think is a goy has a Jewish mother? I never knew that they were Jewish.
Wow.
So, I mean, and you know they're Jewish and they don't know they're Jewish.
You don't even know, but they don't even know. But how do you know if they're Jewish or not? You ask someone, are you Jewish before you eat their food?
You eat the egg.
You mean if you invite it to somebody's house? What do you... But if they're not Jewish, how can you eat in their house? The food's not kosher.
But maybe it's made by someone who's goy, but who's really Jewish, but they don't know they're Jewish.
But if they don't keep kosher, you can't eat in their house anyway.
But they're keeping kosher, but a goy is preparing food. But they're really not goy, they're Jewish.
You have to assume they're a goy until you know for sure they're Jewish.
How do you know that?
Does
they have a scar?
You're
going to
go find out.
They have a nose. The Jewish nose they have.
Nose
jobs. Without, before nose jobs, you're able to tell who's a Jew. What?
If they give you the food.
Since it's a
non-religious
Jew, so...
We learned
this in Machlekes,
no? Right.
That's a possible issue,
but Chol Avakum... What's Chol Avakum to do with this? We're not by Chol Avakum yet. Okay.
Reason, it's not for
no. Okay. Now, what happens if a goy cooks for a Jew on Shabbos? The Jew is sick. The Jew needs food. So, you can't eat it after Shabbos because of Bishalakum. Because the goy still made the food. So, it's still Bishalakum. If it's food that they have Bishalakum on. But, by the way, it's a very interesting din. This din of Bishalakum is only applying when you take it from the raw stage to the cook stage. If the food was already cooked, okay, and a guy reheats the food, there's no problem at all. I mean, if the utensils are kosher, everything. For instance, all these kosher meals, the TV dinners they're called, you get on the airlines or in hospitals, wherever it is, you get these kosher dinners. So what? Why are you allowed to eat them? The guy heat them up in the hospital or they heat them up in the airplanes or whatever, because they're not cooked. They're already cooked, I mean. So you're not cooking the food, you're reheating the food. And there's a rule, ein bishel acher bishel. There's no cooking after cooking. So therefore, all these, if you look at the kosher TV dinners, that's what they're called basically, the kosher TV dinners, they're all double sealed, because it has to be double sealed. The guy officially is not supposed to open the seal. Supposed to give it to you, you're supposed to open it. And then, or the tray itself that they heat up is double sealed. There's a covering or aluminum foil. And then, so then, all the guy is doing is heating. So let's say you have a housekeeper and you told them not to cook. They can't cook because otherwise you get a lot of problems. You start cooking and who knows what they do. But then you have, but if they're reheating food, then it's not a problem. Because reheating, let's say, somebody got chicken, and now the non-Jew is reheating it for a kid, or whatever it is. Because the food was already cooked, there's no bishul achabishul, and therefore it's already done. The Jew did the cooking process. So that's not a problem. There's no Bishlach HaBishl on Shabbos either. What does it have to do with this din? If a Jew did a cooking process, any part of it is good. So what's the problem? Now, there's a whole question, by the way, about beer. It's interesting. Halacha discusses why you're allowed to drink beer. Because beer, barley is cooked. The barley is cooked. That's how the process of making a beer. So he says that's not considered bishul akum because the beer is, most of it's liquid. Most of it's water. Right? Most of it's water, and then they just cook up the stuff in it. So because most of it's water, the barley is bottled to the water, and therefore it's not bishul akum. But you should know, they ask an interesting thing. In halacha, they ask a whole question, how are you allowed to eat chocolate? Chocolate are beans that are cooked. And if a guy cooks, yeah, go to kosher. We're talking about with a heksher, obviously. But a guy is cooking it. And they're right, because sugar, for instance, because, again, sugar is really steamed. It's not necessarily cooked. But there's a lot of discussion in halacha, how are you allowed to eat chocolate? How are you allowed to eat coffee from coffee beans? Not the store, I'm saying from the coffee beans or things like that. And Lapel, the bottom line is, it's all allowed. Because it's either steamed, it's not really cooked, it's not whatever it is.
How do they give themselves permission to make these laws, if you don't mind asking? You get this from Torah?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe I'm not that deep in order to be able to understand.
Okay, you'll get older, you'll understand better. Okay. Okay, next thing is like this. The Mishnah says in Chulin, Cholov shel chalboi akum ve'en yisrorei ehu. Milk that was milked by a non-Jew and a Jew didn't see the milking. So in the Mishnah says you're not allowed to drink that milk. Okay? So in it's a rabbinic din again that cholov akum, as it's called, cholov akum, because the Mishnah says cholov shel chalboi akum, a guy milked a cow and a Jew didn't watch the cooking process. So the din is the milk is treif. You're not allowed, rabbinically. The milk is treif. You're not allowed to drink the milk. Now, nowadays, there are people that are lenient in cholav. Now they gave it a new name to sound better, cholav stam. But it's really cholav akum. Okay? It's milk that was milked by a company, and there's no Jewish. No, there's no Jew watching the milking. There's no Jew watching the milking. So what's the heter that some people have today? The heter is because today government regulations is... Okay, so this goes like this. Some people said that why did the Chacham forbid milk that was milked by a goy and the Jew didn't watch it? Milk from a cow is from a kosher animal. It should be kosher. Because they might mix pig's milk, which used to be done, by the way. They used to make camel milk, pig's milk, more pig's milk. Into the milk. And pig's milk is not kosher because what comes from a kosher animal is kosher. What comes from a non-kosher animal is not kosher. So they might mix pig's milk into the milk and therefore you'll be eating treif. Therefore they say that today where you have government regulations and if you go against the government regulations you get a big fine and it's big bucks. So then they're afraid of mixing pig's milk into the milk and therefore they say that you're allowed to drink it. Why is that not a heter relied upon by the Chassidic crowd, at least? The Chassidic crowd does not rely on that heter. Because the Rebbe explains an interesting thing. There are certain decrees that the Chachamim made. And when they made the decree, they said the reason for the decree. Certain decrees the Chachamim made, they made the decree without a reason. A year later, they gave out the reason for the decree. What's the difference in halacha between these two things? A decree that the Chachamim made at the time of the decree, they gave a reason, then the din is, if the reason doesn't apply, that doesn't apply. But if it's a decree that Chachamim made without a reason, a year later they gave out a reason, then the din is, even if the reason doesn't apply, the decree still says. When the Chachamim made the Gzeir of Cholav Akum, they did not give a reason l'chatchila. They did not give a reason initially why they made the decree. They said, because there were many decrees like that. The Chum said, milk that was milked by an Andrew and the Jew didn't see the milking, and he didn't give a reason. So even, I said, some people say the reason is because of they used to mix in pig's milk. But that doesn't matter. Even if the reason doesn't apply, the din is that Gzeda stays. And even those, by the way, the Moshe, who's matir cholov, as he called cholov stam, if you look in the Chuvis, the Moshe is only matir when there's no cholov Yisrael available and you're sick or kids. That's when he's makel. The world took it in a broad sense that he's matir all the time cholov. It's not necessarily true. That if you look in his responses, that's not what he writes. He writes that in a case that there's a person who's sick or the kids and you don't have any Cholv Yisrael around, so then you can be makel on non-Cholv Yisrael. But in the actual halacha, really the truth is, if you take halacha the way it is, it's still...
What about what? You, Rabbi? Are you okay? You drink direct from the Izzah.
Can you drink milk straight from the cow?
Huh? Yes. Not the cow, but Izzah. How do you say
Izzah? Ez, Izzah. Ez. Oh, from a goat.
Ez, goat.
Okay, was it a goat?
Can you drink direct or not? I used to drink direct from a goat.
From the goat?
Yes, direct.
Ooh. Huh? That's gross.
That's a white. That's why.
I'm asking you. That's why he has such a good brain.
Might kick you.
You were soft?
What about the OU organizations? Okay.
They all give heter and chol vakum. They rely on that heter. That's all. Okay. To be continued.